And my next guest talks about living in the now, about, well, really the power of now. And I have so many questions about this. Richard Moss is my guest. He's an internationally respected leader in the field of conscious living and inner transformation. He's the author of 6 books. One that I have in front of me is his latest book called Inside Out Healing, Transforming Your Life Through the Power of Presence. Welcome, Richard. Thanks for joining me.
I'm so happy to be with you. Thank you.
Yeah, we had a great time on our Gaiam show together, so I love spending time with you. All right, so let's talk about this power of now and the consciousness of now. Somebody said to me the other day, and I can't remember which show it was, but they said that the mind is always in the past and in the future, but rarely in this moment. Is that true?
Well, of course it's true. Because a mind that's only in this moment wouldn't survive very long. So for evolution's sake, we learn to remember the past, learn from our mistakes, anticipate the future, and prepare. That's a survival, enormous survival value for a human being, and even for animals. All animals learn, probably every animal learns. Some not very much, but they still do learn. We learn like no other creature we know of. And what we do know now is that while it's essential to be able to learn from the past, to poison the present moment by the stories you tell yourself about the past or the beliefs you hold about the past, that is self-destructive, and it is a sad and unfortunate form of ignorance. The same goes true for the future. It's essential to anticipate the future. It's essential to be able to plan for the future. It's gigantic fun to know that there's something really important you want to do with your life, and so you organize yourself to achieving that. However, if you leave the present too far behind, then the real deep joy of life is going to be replaced by whatever sensation is created by the way you imagine the future. So in today's day and age, while it's important to be able to anticipate the future, most of the time what we tell ourselves about the future, like, for example, I heard a woman in one of my programs recently, probably a woman in her early 60s, saying that she said, one of her stories is, I won't have enough money for a dignified old age. And I said to her, well, what is that? The minute you tell yourself that, what happens right now? And she says, I get anxious. I said, now take the story away. Is there anything whatsoever about this moment that's making you anxious? And she said, no. And I said, okay, so that's the danger of the future, that you can literally poison the present moment by telling yourself a story about the future, which is purely imaginary, but it hurts you right now. So most of us don't live in the present moment except when we're on a surfboard or skiing or dancing.
Or petting an animal, because they really are good with that present moment thing.
Yeah, petting an animal and forgetting ourselves in hearing that, sensing their response. Anytime you forget yourself without going to sleep, without a diminishment of your senses, when you forget yourself and your body's fully awake and fully relaxed, you are at the highest level of possible functioning. That's exactly what every professional athlete aims for, every Olympic athlete aims for. Mm-hmm. They want to have the body fully awake and completely relaxed. You cannot ride a surfboard on a big wave, a strong wave, or any wave, really, for that matter, if your body's tense. And you cannot do it if you're not fully present. If you're so distracted about what's happening in your relationship and you go out surfing, either you're going to forget about everything that's happening in your relationship and ride those waves, or you're not going to ride the waves.
True, absolutely true. So is the human mind incapable of being in that present moment, or is it just that it's not capable of being in that present moment for very long? Clear that up for me.
Well, this is how we're taught, and not just how we're taught. We go through stages of development, of which if you have a child that has a severe disability so that their brain is never going to develop, that, you know, they're never going to get past, let's say, 5 months old psychologically, emotionally, and behaviorally, that would be a tragedy. You have an infant. The infant doesn't know that you're separate. It doesn't know that it's separate. It doesn't know that there's trees out there and a world. It, everything that it perceives and its own sense of self are all one thing, not differentiated. So the stage of development that we call ego, which is the formation of the belief in me or I as a separate self, and therefore it's me and mine and you and yours and so forth, that stage of development is necessary and unavoidable and incomplete. In other words, if all you ever get to is a belief in the sense of your own self without a profound capacity to be aware of every aspect of yourself, then you've only reached the stage of development of ego. And that's where we are, in an evolutionary sense. Most people don't stay in the present moment because they stay in ideas about themselves and about the world, about the past and about the future, instead of staying in what is actually happening now. And they don't know how, they haven't been taught, they haven't awakened to the power of their own awareness to give them a relationship to their thoughts, so they believe their thoughts and haven't, you know, really allowed the power of their awareness to give them a relationship to their fears in particular, because fears are what limit us the most, so that you can have a healthy, spacious, creative relationship to all the fearful feelings. And it's not that people can't, it's just that they don't know. And psychology and psychotherapy, until very recently, was so fixated on the ego as real and the problems of the ego as something to be fixed that very, very little help came from the psychological world. But now the psychological world is joining with the awareness practices that are part of the deep spiritual traditions, and we can make enormous progress in healing ourselves and in transforming ourselves. If you have a practitioner of psychotherapy that is also very experienced in meditation and understands how to be in the present moment and uses present moment, you know, now moment awareness practices, you're going to grow very, very fast. If on the other hand, they're oriented toward enlightenment, you're not going to grow very fast.
So your book about the transforming your life through the power of presence, you're teaching people to be in that present moment and to experience that present moment more and more and more and more and to connect yourself during that present moment, right? That's the whole point here.
That is the whole point. The whole point that is that all emotional suffering is created by your thoughts. It's created by something you have internalized and believe and don't even realize you think anymore because it's so intrinsic to you, or it's created by the judgment you're making right now of yourself or of someone else, or it's created by the way that you're reimagining the past. So you're bringing back a memory from the past and reimagining it the way you maybe imagined it when you were 8 years old or 10 years old, and then basically have the psychology of a 10-year-old and you're suffering as a 60-year-old from the way a 10-year-old looked at reality.
Right.
So you have to learn to start all over, and the only place you could possibly start is right now.
Okay, so what if some of those things, though, that happened when you were 10 years old are still happening now, and you've recreated them in your life? So, for example, you had an angry parent, and you've married an angry spouse. So that's still occurring. So how do you be in that present moment if you are still repeating all of your patterns from your past?
Well, you have to make a choice. Are you going to become a disciple of the power of your awareness to slowly pull you out of these old patterns and into, you know, recreating yourself or reinventing yourself? Remember, the kind of man or woman we invent ourselves into from childhood is almost always unconscious. We're basically trying for more pleasure and trying to avoid pain. So, and as that gets more complex, then we're trying for success, and we're trying to avoid failure, and then we're measuring success usually materially or having the right person with us and so forth, and we're measuring failure is maybe material in limitation or not, you know, imagining ourselves not having the right partner or being alone or so many things like that. But it's still the old patterns. None of that changes until you say, wait a minute, I just told myself a story that's one of those things from my past, and it's doing to me the same thing it's always done to me. I need to wake up. And when we attract someone into our lives or we marry someone that helps us recapitulate our childhood, it's for a purpose. It's so that we can become much more conscious. We usually marry someone who has qualities that are not well developed in us, which at first we tremendously admire, and then later we can't stand. But the point is, now take the quality in the other that you admired, and which now you can't stand, and see that that's a part of yourself you haven't developed really well, and develop it in yourself, and bless your partner for having shown it to you. Then the next thing you know, you're a more complex, more subtle, more sophisticated individual psychologically, and you have much more tolerance for your partner, so your relationship may actually work. And sometimes we outgrow each other. We've learned the lesson we need to learn. We've internalized the new patterns because of the relationship that we were in that was serving us up to a certain point and no longer serves us. So we move on. Every single relationship is a mirror for how deeply we're connected to ourselves or not. So as soon as you find yourself really far from another human being, you can absolutely be certain you're pretty far from who you really are. You're really far from your aware self.
Mm. So this whole concept of deepening connection with yourself and deepening connection with others has to do with being in that present moment. When is and letting go of the past and the future for that matter, and just being in this moment right now can teach us so much about ourselves and about getting rid of stress and so forth. You have a workshop coming up in November, right? Coming up in November, right?
Right. For nearly 37 years, I've been doing long retreats. I used to do 7 or 10 of them a year. Now I'm just doing 2 of them a year.
Wow.
But the one in the U.S. is in Ojai, California in November. And it's a way for people to really do a deep reset on where they're operating from in themselves.
How long is the retreat? Is it a couple of days?
Well, this one is a long one. It's 9 days. But most of my deep work retreats are 3 days, 4 days.
What do people do in the 9-day retreat?
Almost everything. It's really about learning with your body. So we're doing some meditation, but the meditation isn't about transcending. It's about getting more connected to yourself. We're working with movement and breath and listening, learning to listen to each other. We're learning to do certain things that will bring the body and the mind into the present moment, practices for embodying yourself in the present moment. And I'm teaching them my mandala model, mandala of being, which basically says that when you're not in present moment awareness, you're either in the past, the future, or in judgments of yourself or in judgments of others.
Mm-hmm.
And so I teach them that model, and they get to practice it so that they have a way of going home and waking themselves up whenever they get back into the old habit of running away from the present. So it's a very experiential process.
Is there anything that we can learn right now on the radio in the next 10 minutes of what it would be like just to practice that space, to practice being in that space? If we come against our everyday stressors and what kick us out of our bodies and put us into the future or the past, is there one thing that you can teach us right now as a technique to get into that present moment?
Yes. I call it the practice of gratitude.
Ah.
Okay. Now,
nice.
It's pretty hard to be grateful for having cancer. But you can be grateful for every sound you hear. You can be grateful for the awareness of the love that others hold for you. You can be grateful for your awareness of the flowers in your room or the light coming through your window or what you see through your window. So the practice of gratitude basically is, I'm not grateful necessarily for pain in my belly, though I could say, I could say thank you, but I would be saying thank you to my awareness that's giving me the ability to experience this pain in my belly, and then just right in this moment, I'll do the practice right here. Okay, so thank you. I see some men walking by doing work in my backyard. I thank you for the awareness that I'm talking with you, Gina. Thank
Lisa.
You for the awareness that I can hear my own voice and the softness in my voice. Thank you that the wheelbarrow is going by and there's a woman with an enormous amount of sand in that. She must be strong. Thank you for the books on my bookshelf. And, oh, I see a clock. I'm aware of a clock that was given to me by a gift by a group of Europeans some years ago when I turned 60. And so on. Thank you for the weight of my body on my chair. Thank you for the ache in my hip, which has been a part of my life the last 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for the cloud that I see drifting past in the blue sky and the dancing shadows on the wall. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for present moment perceptions, like the ones I've just named.
So if you happen to be hooked by an angry spouse or a bad boss or a friend that just texted you something that upset you or somebody who is causing a traffic buildup wherever you are right now, you can go into that place of gratitude and get unhooked by that, right?
Absolutely. And let's say someone says you just got a message from your spouse and it's an ugly message or, how could you possibly say thank you for someone who's calling you an idiot? I wouldn't say thank you for someone calling me an idiot. I'd say thank you for my awareness that allows me to be aware that someone's calling me an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can go further. I can say thank you because I realize I may not understand what's going on in his mind that he's calling me an idiot. And thank you, I'm still driving my car. Or thank you, well, no, let's say it was a text message that we don't want people driving their cars, so we'll have to revision
right.
Something else.
But
There's no limit to what you can say thank you to.
Right. Right, and I like that you're not saying thank you to the person that's hurting you or thank you to the disease. You're saying thank you to the awareness that you have outside of that that is probably a bigger and better picture as to what's going on.
Well, the awareness is operating in the present moment. Mm. Thoughts are about the future. Thoughts are about the past. Thoughts are about you. Thoughts are about others or about your career, about your body. Thoughts are never, ever, ever about anything real. They're about ideas. They're about objects.
Well, let me ask you about your hip real quick, because you have been, I've noticed that you went through that when I saw you last.
Mm-hmm.
How are you grateful for the hip? But then, I mean, do you think in the future, gosh, what if I can't walk? Do those thoughts come through your head?
Well, with my hip, I immediately had a choice to think of myself as the man in the past who was a mountaineer and a rock climber.
Right.
Very athletic and quite fit, unusually, in a high percent, unusually fit for my age group. And I could have dwelled on that man and then thought that this man was inferior, but I didn't. I wouldn't believe a single thought about me in the past that would cause me the slightest degree of suffering in the present. So what does that bring me to? It brings me to, what is my experience right now? My experience right now is exactly whatever it is. And if I have no judgment of it, no negative judgment of it, it is exactly what it is, and it fills me. So will I be able to, I had an MRI yesterday. I've had an MRI of my low back months ago, but the hip has not gotten better. So now does it mean I'm going to have surgery soon, a hip replacement? Maybe it does. I don't know yet. I'll find out very soon.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is, I'm not in the future with the thought I won't be able to walk, because the truth is, if I had to go the rest of my life like this, the moment I knew that that was reality, I would say yes.
As long as it's in your awareness.
What really matters? Is it that I can go walking in the mountains, or I can go skiing, or I can go bike riding, or that I can love this moment? That I can listen to you and open my heart, that I have a partner that there's nothing about my hip that stops me from rejoicing in her and sharing beauty with her and being big-hearted with her. Why should I let any situation or circumstance in my life close my heart? I've spent years practicing not to do that.
Opening, yeah.
I'm not going to do it. Why should I let fear or some change of my circumstances make me self-involved? Self-involvement plus fear is absolutely why human beings are cruel to themselves and cruel to others. You have to, if we all have self-interest, I have self-interest, but I also have a deep principle, and that principle is I don't care what happens in my life as long as I keep my heart open. And that's what I'll spend the rest of my life practicing.
I want to let the listeners know that I think it was probably 20 years ago, you were an emergency medical room doctor.
37 years ago.
37 years ago.
Yeah.
So just let me ask you this. If you were all of a sudden to need to go back into the emergency room and become and be an emergency room doctor again because there's an emergency, and you walk back into that ER room, how would you take all the learnings that you have now about the present moment and help somebody who is in an emergency situation right now?
By being authentically myself. I mean, right now I wouldn't trust myself in an emergency room, maybe for triage to determine just how sick someone is and what they need, but I've been out of medicine too long to feel competent to do that. So, but let's just take the example that I'm in that room. Okay. Well, I was in an airport being wheeled in a wheelchair. The person wheeling me in the wheelchair is an absolute miracle of life who lives inside his, sometimes it was a him, sometimes it was her, lives inside their own reality. And I made a big space for them, for who they were. And before I knew it, they're telling me about their lives. And they're telling me about the last person they rolled who was cranky or the last, and so forth. If I were in the emergency room, I wouldn't be telling someone what I'm telling you now about being in the present moment unless they asked me. That's not the contract. But I'd be in the present moment. I'd be so deeply in the present moment that if I stood near them, they'd have less pain. If I stood near them, they'd have less anxiety. The energy field of a person who is embodied and in the present moment communicates a sense of rightness and goodness. I don't mean goodness like, oh, I'm such a good person, that kind of goodness. I mean the goodness of now, the richness, the rightness of now. And it puts you right in yourself. The energy field of a person deeply embodied and who really lives in the now of themselves, who's awakened in that sense, communicates well-being to others. Literally, if somebody spends these 3 days with me or 9 days with me, they will have so much less fear. Mm. If I never talked to them and we just sat in the room,
right,
they would have less fear about their lives. They would tell themselves less stories that make them fearful.
Mm-hmm.
They'd be less afraid of death. They'd be less afraid of anything simply because fear is what I've had to face and what all people have to face. If you want to keep your heart open and not become self-involved, you have to do that when you feel deeply threatened, which means profound vulnerability. Instead of being ruled by fear, you let yourself be vulnerable. You don't numb it with work. You don't numb it with drugs. You don't numb it with busyness. You don't numb it with TV. You don't numb it with reading. You're vulnerable. And once you're a person that's profoundly vulnerable, everyone around you is safer.
And that's how you provide space for someone when they're around you. I did this when I sat with you on the Gaiam TV show. I allowed for that space to be there, and you did too. And it was an incredible energy that flowed through both of us that was so distinct, and it was so different than the energy that I walked in with. It was noticeably different. When you really have two people that allow space to be there, it is so profound. So I love what you teach, and I can understand why you would do an intensive workshop so people could really be immersed in this and then start to embody it, so that when you get back into your daily life or whatever crises may happen, you are able to handle those in a different way forever.
I called you Gina before.
You did. I know you meant Lisa.
Yes, but I met you both the same day. And Gina was on the phone with me while you were talking to the other person.
Exactly.
That's how I made the mistake. I'm sorry, Lisa.
That's all right. No worries. Yeah. So it's one of those things where and thank you for being present with me on that. Okay, so where can people find out more about the workshop coming up in November?
You know, the workshop coming up is on my website, www.richardmoss.com. Just as important, because if you can't get away for 9 days, then go to the website and do the free e-course about learning to bring yourself into the present. And, of course, Inside Out Healing is it's an easy book to read, and it has so many case histories, and it teaches how to be in the present moment.
Beautiful.
So you can do it yourself. It's a really good do-it-yourself book for for profound transformation. And
I love that you have a free e-course. That's amazing. So it's richardmoss.com, and
correct.
You can find all of that information there.
And the practice of gratitude and breathing exercises and how to really, the art of listening, there are short videos on my YouTube channel. And so people can watch those and then just practice the practices I'm showing them.
I remember those, yes. Those are very good. The pacing is beautiful on those, too. Well, thank you again for joining me today, and I appreciate you. And the book Inside Out Healing is great, and also just go to the website, richardmoss.com, or the YouTube channel. Thank you, Richard.
Thank you, Lisa. Have a wonderful day.
All right, you too. We're going to take a quick break on KPFK, and we'll be right back. This is Lisa Garr. You're listening to The Aware Show.